And he saw my thoughts and said, "You will find out later how and why I know you and your circumstances. But now you both must enter into God's order, because it is time for that." He led us into a spiritual sphere where one house was, so to speak, next to the other. Then he said, "Look, these are all schools for brothers and sisters like you, and they all need to be taught. They have all become of good will, and they all want to serve God and are ready to improve and make amends for what they have done wrong. They also want to join the plan of salvation and order. And so you must now find a place in one of these houses and be taught here. You will still have enough time for practical work. I will always fetch you when you are allowed to, and then we will carry out this work together." And so it happened. I came to one of these community houses. There were many brothers and many sisters together. We had to live together, we had to learn to tolerate each other. There was something about this or that you didn't like, you had to try to overcome it. If you then fulfilled your tasks and proved yourself in the house, in living together with the others, you were soon allowed to leave this community house and you moved up a level, no longer into such a densely populated house. There were fewer siblings together, you also had nicer surroundings and greater comfort. You also had the feeling that the interest of the higher spiritual world in the individual was much greater than in the community school, where certain spiritual teachers teach a large number of spiritual brothers and sisters. Here you were partly taught personally, you received very personal care, and it was therefore much more pleasant. There were also other, many interesting things about heaven, and that aroused our curiosity. So we were busy, because my brother was also allowed to move up this level with me. We then worked our way up a little further and experienced God's love. But we also had to fulfill our task in the plan of salvation and order. But we also had to spend a certain time in purification. We were told exactly when we had to leave the house to be quiet and alone. We were led into a building, but this house, which was also on a higher level, had rooms that were very, very modest and simple. You were supposed to live in these for a certain time and then focus entirely on God. You were supposed to think about your own life and what you had been taught. You couldn't find distraction, it was all so simple, and you were alone. But it wasn't a time of torment, it was a time of enrichment. You could take your own exam, so to speak, you could strengthen yourself. So you looked forward to the moment when you were taken out, when you could then put everything you had set out to do and planned into action. So I strove eagerly for the ascent. And so I was also led to my relatives in time, because the moment had come for them too when they had to go into the spiritual world. I was also allowed to go to greet them, and I was allowed to be with my parents, and later I was also allowed to support my son and make his way up easier. Well, dear brothers and sisters, I have tried in my own way to explain it as best as possible and to tell how I experienced it. I say goodbye to you and ask for the blessing of the Lord for you. Greetings from God. Report of the Ascending Spirit being Albert through Mediator Beatrice Brunner in the Hall on Mar 1 Quarten Kaldenstress, Zurich. Original, tape recording. Next case. March 6, 1963, Maria, afterlife training of a former beggar. How Mary learns to enjoy other people's property without the desire to take it away from them. Control Spirit, the beginning of the recording is missing. Edition from the first publication in the magazine Spiritual World, Greetings from God. I am the Control. Dear brothers and sisters, we let a being speak to you who speaks to you about his first impressions and experiences in the spiritual world. From this you can see that people who once lived on a very primitive level prove to be disobedient in the spiritual world and cannot fit into the order because they are still used to their previous primitive life. You will see that you have to be very patient with such people and it depends on whether the person in question is of good will or malicious. If you find this good will, you will also have the patience required. You sacrifice yourself for such a being, and so the way upwards can slowly be opened for him. The being who will now speak to you no longer lives in these primitive conditions, but has since moved up step by step. We have chosen this sister to speak because what she will say may be good for people today, for it shows in what poor conditions people lived about 200 years ago or even less. Very many people lived in poverty, even more in other countries than in your country. We always consult with these beings beforehand. We discuss with each other what they may tell you. Because the whole thing must fit into our structure of spiritual teaching. We will, as I have already emphasized, never allow brothers and sisters to speak who prove themselves to be indecent in any way, who could forget themselves. That cannot happen at all, because they are no longer on this lower level. They may now smile about it or be astonished that they once behaved so primitively. Everything that has happened can be recalled and made visible in the spiritual world. It is like a film. The life that has been lived, the path of purification and the entry into the spiritual realm, all of this is brought to life again and those involved can experience it again as if it had only recently happened. Of course, every being is happy to have made this ascent. And so we now want to give the floor to this sister. I speak God's blessing over you all. God bless you. Mary, God bless you. My name for you is Mary. That was also my name once. Today I am no longer called Mary, but since I am still supposed to tell of the life I have lived and of my entry into the realm of spirits, I would like to use the name that was given to me at that time. I was also called by this name in the early days in the spirit realm. I had to eke out a very modest existence in earthly life. I was very poor, and in my later years I had no friends or relatives who would have taken care of me. So I was completely dependent on begging. There was no other way for me to get anything than this way. Of course I must mention that I was perhaps too clumsy, that I did not like working at the time and that I liked the life I was leading much better, especially since there were many others like me who held out their purses so that someone would put something in them. People went from house to house begging for something. Now I must confess something that I am of course ashamed to say today. But I will tell it exactly as it was. Yes, I had to beg and I also stole a lot. But that did not seem like a sin to me at the time. Because I had acquired things that I thought could be of some use to me. But I usually sold them on when I had seen that I could do nothing with it. I gave it away for little money, and people didn't ask where I had got it from. Many knew or suspected that it hadn't been acquired honestly. So I lived on. I had a very modest home, but I was actually quite happy with this life. Then I became ill and old and had to die. Today I don't want to go into all the details of that primitive life, but I want to tell you about my first impressions after my entry into the realm of the spirits, about my encounters, about my work. As a human being, I probably had a vague idea that there could be life after death. I was a Christian, but I didn't always take the commandments seriously. When I then entered the realm of the spirits, my mother was there. She didn't say much to me, after all she had been a poor thing. There were other relatives there too, but they had actually only waved to me and left again, and I didn't pay any attention to them either. I was already used to being alone as a human. But then a noble being, an angel, came to me and said, "Maria, you left your earthly body behind in that world, where you had many worries and many needs. It has been given back to the earth, but with you the immortal has returned to the divine home. You see, you live on." And then he continued, kindly but sternly, "Maria, we have observed you well in your life and seen what you have done. We would like to make one thing clear to you from the very beginning. Here, in the kingdom of the Lord, where you are now, there is no begging, no lying and no stealing. We give you enough freedom and many opportunities so that you can get a little higher. Of course you don't deserve a better world. Your neighbors are like you. They were also somewhat work shy, and they were not very strict about truth and honesty. So you live together now, and you may like your world, because here you do not need to go hungry like you did when you were a human. You do not need to worry about clothing or tomorrow. These great worries are taken away from you. You are not sick, you are healthy." Then the angel continued, "You will not lack anything, you will not go hungry, and you will not freeze. But we have already prepared a job for you, because you were work shy. Audio recording begins. Now you must start learning to work. Because in heaven you do not need work, shy brothers and sisters. You must work. I was amazed at this, because I had truly imagined heaven without work. Now he said to me, look at what you look like. Yes, I had the feeling that I looked the same as I did when I was a human. I wore dark, long clothes, my hair was unkempt, no one paid any attention to it. But what struck me was that I had no shoes, I was barefoot. And the angel drew my attention to this and said, look, you have no shoes. You have to make them yourself. I was astonished and said, I can never make a pair of shoes for myself. Oh yes, he said, the shoes here are not as complicated as those of humans, they are much simpler. And he showed me the shoes he was wearing. They were. The word shoes is not the right word, they were, according to your modern concepts, more like sandals, and they were tied to the legs with colored ribbons. Of course, he had very beautiful shoes or sandals, beautiful, and I said, I will never be able to make the ones you have. And the angel said, that is not necessary either, because you do not have the material to make shoes like the ones I have. You do not need that either. But you will soon see that you need shoes for yourself, that it is more comfortable to walk in shoes in the kingdom of heaven. And as you can see, people also wear clothes. And if you want to buy nice clothes, you have to work for them. Yes, of course I was amazed by everything he told me, I would like to say that in advance. He then gave me some time to rest, to get some sleep. Then he came to me again, woke me up and told me the same thing again, that I had to do some work. He also repeated that here one must neither lie nor steal nor be lazy and that one must also respect one's neighbor. He repeated it and indicated that he wanted to tell me so that I would never forget it, that in the spiritual world one cannot steal or lie. Because everything, all possessions that exist, no matter how misshapen or humble they are, belong to God. Because this world here is a big house and includes everything, from the highest levels down to these ascension levels. Everything belongs to God, and therefore you can never take anything away from God. It seemed that the angel did not trust me at that time. Because it was still in me that I could not see it when others had something that I liked and I could not possess it. It was still the same way of thinking as when I was human, whenever I saw something. I immediately thought about the easiest way to get it. I could not get rid of these thoughts. That is why the angel had told me so clearly, there is no stealing and no lying here. This angel was a very kind being, very loving, and he was also beautifully dressed. He had a fragrant, flowing, wide scarf wrapped around his shoulders, and I saw that this large, flowing scarf was loose. And when he had spoken to me, I was allowed, he had no objection, to play with this scarf with my hands, to arrange it this way and that. I imagined how nice it would be if I had this scarf, it would certainly cover my dark robe. These were my thoughts, and I thought, well, maybe I will get this piece of clothing after all, because this angel certainly has several more of them and will hardly notice. But right at the beginning, when he had seen it and also allowed me to arrange this scarf, he said, that is not for you. So he had already seen what I had thought. Well, the angel was leaving again, and I took a closer look at the surroundings. So I should make myself a pair of shoes, as he had told me. And truthfully, it was actually not as easy to walk barefoot as I had initially thought. The ground was not even and smooth, it was stony, bumpy, and so I had the feeling that it would be very uncomfortable to walk barefoot. In addition, it seemed to me as if the ground I was standing on was sometimes very hot, then cold again, and sometimes wet. It was simply uncomfortable. And so I understood that I should wear shoes. But I thought to myself, what material should these shoes be made of? Yes, people always use leather. But there isn't any here, I saw that straight away. There is no leather where I was. I didn't see any animals either. And furthermore, we certainly couldn't have killed animals and processed the leather. So what were the shoes made of? So I had to make my observations of the others first, and I saw some who were also barefoot, while others had on modest shoes. Then I went up to one of them and asked him, "Who made these shoes for you?" And he said, "I myself. Who else? What did you make them out of?" "Yes, you will find material for it. You will find wood, very fine wood that is easy to work with. And then you can hold and tie these shoes together as elegantly as these noble people do." By this he meant the angels. He drew my attention to the willows that he had. These willows were so flexible, and he had used them to hold his shoes together, they could be used for this. Then I asked more about this material, because it did not seem so easy to have it so easily, although I knew that here in the kingdom of heaven you don't need money and can't buy anything. The angel had told me that I no longer need to beg here and I must not lie or steal either. I had also resolved to do so. But then I met a fellow sister. She had a very beautiful bag, as we called it back then, hanging from her arm. It was colorfully embroidered and there was something in this bag or in this bag, as far as I was concerned. This sister was wearing shoes and she didn't seem to be doing badly, that's how I felt. Then I asked her, "Did you make the shoes yourself?" She answered, "Of course I made them myself, you will make yours yourself too," and she walked away from me. But then I followed her and thought, "This beautiful bag, I liked it and imagined that it would look just as nice on my arm. I didn't have anything myself." And then I thought to myself, "Actually, I don't have anything at all that I could put anything in." Here and there you could see a few flowers, just modest flowers, and there were trees, bushes, very nice, and you could have collected something. In any case, I could have stored the material that I was supposed to have collected for the shoes in this bag. I then followed my sister and kept looking at this bag. Then we came to a gathering of siblings, there was quite a lot of room. R.M. I still remember this noise well. Some brothers were arguing with each other, and I joined in, including that sister with this beautiful ridicule. A ridicule is a bag-like lady's handbag with drawstrings that serve as a fastener and handle at the same time. Since the late 18th century, the small bag has been used by ladies of high society to store small everyday objects that they always wanted to have with them. End of footnote. Now I disturbed them by shouting forcefully, "Don't argue. There's no arguing in heaven. What could that be?" And then one of the brothers said, "Well, I only ran away for a few moments, and in that time this stranger came and took over my bench." And he emphasized that he had made this bench himself, that he would rest and sleep on it. This bench was all the wealth he had, and he would not give it away. But the other had settled down on the bench and did not want to leave it and said, "I was told that everything in heaven belongs to God. And what belongs to God also belongs to us. So I don't care whether you made this bench, it is just as much mine as it is yours." And then he said, "There is still enough room. You can sit next to me, but I am not going away." More and more brothers and sisters came along who had become aware of this noise. But suddenly a steward came, it was an angel, one of those who see to it that everything is in order, and he intervened and asked, "What is going on?" And then the one who had made the bench so beautifully said, "I have worked so hard on it, I have put a lot of effort into it. This bench is all the wealth I have and all the comforts I can afford. And now the stranger is coming and is taking possession of my property. That isn't right." And the other claimed, "Nothing there. It doesn't belong to him, it belongs to God." And the angel then said, "Look, it would actually be right if the one who made the bench had said to the brother, 'You are welcome, you can sit here too, because I have enough space.'" And the other, who now sat down on it, could have said, "Dear brother, I am only staying for a short time. I am not taking your property away from you. But let me chat with you for a while, let me be with you for a while, and I will move on again." So the angel took both of them into prayer, as you say. He spoke very forcefully to each of them, because he was not satisfied with either of them, neither with the one who made the bench nor with the one who sat down on it unjustly. And at the end he said to the person who had made the bench, Now we are taking the bench away, we are carrying it away and then making it available to a brother or sister who will come back from their earthly life so tired and weary and can then rest on this bench. And the owner of it was a little disappointed, but because he respected the angel, he bowed, albeit hesitantly. And the angel said to him, "You have the time, and you can carve yourself another bench. And you should never forget that you have to treat each other with love and courtesy." So I experienced this and saw that the other person who had claimed the other person's property for himself was also shamed. After all those who lived together here were still of the same mindset as they had been during their human lives. So one person had claimed the other person's property, only he could not carry this bench away, but he believed he could insist on his right to it. And so the angel intervened. I never saw the man who had made the bench again. He left sadly. But I think he must have made another place to lie down. Well, even though I saw all of that, it didn't really impress me in the end. Because one had experienced enough of such disputes in human life, and I hadn't found most of them to be that bad. But then I turned back to the sister with the ridicule and didn't let her out of my sight. I still had the thought, "I want this ridicule." Then I followed her, started talking to her and said that I should actually look for material. I needed to make myself some shoes, but I had no idea how to do that. Then she said to me, "Oh, someone will teach you. Just go to where your brothers and sisters are working so hard and say that they should teach you that you must have shoes." And she said to me quite happily, "You know, when I was alive I had two pairs of shoes. I wore one pair on weekdays and one pair were my Sunday shoes. And that's how I wanted it here too. I have a pair of Sunday shoes here too." And then I asked, "Where are your Sunday shoes? Where do you live?" And she said, "I live here and there, wherever I like, and I have my Sunday shoes here in my bag." That was her wealth, and this wealth must always go with her. And I thought about it and thought, now I could get a pair of shoes without working. And maybe this sister wouldn't argue. I had seen and heard the angel say to the person who had made the bench, "Actually, you could have done without if you had loved someone very much." And so I thought, maybe the angel would come and say the same thing to the sister. Now we walked on together and I talked about the surroundings. I just wanted to wait for a moment when she would put the bag down somewhere. I couldn't take it from her arm, but I thought an opportunity would arise to take it. And then I told her I was tired and asked if she didn't want to sit down for a while. She had to understand that I would get tired much more quickly than she did because, unlike her, I didn't have any shoes yet. Of course she sat down and actually put this ridiculous thing next to it. I admired it and told her how beautiful it was. But the sister turned her attention to something else she was looking at, because there was always something going on here, it was always busy. But she always kept one eye on the bag because she didn't trust me. And then I suggested that she show me the Sunday shoes. But she didn't immediately agree. "No," she said, "the Sunday shoes only come out of the bag when it's really Sunday." Then I wanted to know, "Are there Sundays here too? When is Sunday here? I don't feel anything of Sunday. I don't know when it is." "Oh, you will notice when it is Sunday. At some point, when the mood is particularly cheerful and when there are many angels there, then it is Sunday." Then I put on my Sunday shoes and put my weekday shoes in my bag. Well, we talked about this and that. And then at the end, after I had admired the bag very much, I asked her how she had come to have such a bag, because I didn't have one and had never seen anyone who had one. And then she said it was a gift from a friend who she had done a great favor for. This friend had given her the bag and said, "Oh, dear soul, take it, then you will at least have something personal and a little wealth and you can also provide for something in it." And so she was attached to this wealth. Then I asked, "Well, what did you have to do? What kind of favor do you have to do to get a bag like that? Maybe I can do that too." And then she said, "You know, it's like this, an angel rewarded me for the good deed, he made my friend aware that she could give me a bag like that. And that's how I got this bag. If you want to get something similar, or maybe shoes that are already made, then you have to give something in return. You have to do a really big favor for some brother or sister. You have to do something good, something meaningful. Yes, I didn't know how to do that. I still felt strange and shy, and I had no idea about it. And then I told her straight out, "Oh, you don't need two pairs of shoes, you can always wear your Sunday shoes. At least give me your weekday shoes." But the sister didn't agree to that, she didn't give me the weekday shoes either. I managed to put the bag around my arm, but the sister wouldn't let go of me. She stood next to me and kept holding the bag with one hand and said, "I can't give you this bag, under any circumstances. And just so you know, there's no stealing here. Otherwise you'll be severely punished for it." Then I said, "We saw and experienced an argument earlier, but no one was punished. After all, the angel said that if you have great love, you give it to the other person." Then she said that she didn't have that great love for me, and without further ado she wrapped the bag around her arm and left me in a flash. I never saw her again. So I had to think more and more about making shoes like that myself. But I had no tools, and how was I supposed to do it? But the sister had said that I would be taught and shown. To tell the truth, I wasn't even interested in making shoes, I wanted to get finished shoes in a much more convenient way. Well, I didn't see this sister with the bag again. She had gone away because she didn't trust me, and her bag was so valuable to her that she just left me. Now I met a brother and I had the feeling that he couldn't walk very well, because he had a stick or a walking stick with him. So I spoke to him and asked him, "Where are you going? Do you have trouble walking?" And he said, "Oh yes, I have trouble walking." He was wearing shoes, but not expensive ones. I couldn't determine what material they were made of. It was some kind of material that he had tied around his feet. End of the recording. Edition from the first publication in the magazine Geist Die Welt. It seems to me that walking was difficult for him even with these shoes, because he was walking with a stick. And then I asked, "Why can't you walk upright?" "There is no sickness here. The angel told me that there is no sickness here." "Oh yes," he replied and sighed. He was still suffering and had great difficulty moving forward. His body hurt because he had always had such pain during his life and it had not gone away now either. He had made this staff himself. At first I thought that perhaps he could at least give me the staff to make walking easier for me. After all, he had shoes while I didn't even have any. But then I felt sorry for him. I really couldn't ask him for the staff when he was already in pain and couldn't walk well. He looked too pathetic. I had the feeling that I looked quite noble compared to him. Then I let him go and didn't bother with him anymore. But since I didn't feel comfortable walking around barefoot, I wanted to go to those who had a workshop where you could make shoes. It looked really pathetic to walk around without shoes, because I had the feeling that all eyes were always on me and that they could see how poor I had come and that I hadn't even taken the time to make a pair of shoes. I went to one of these workshops and as soon as I went in that direction, a sister came up to me and said, "Ah, you must have shoes too, you don't have any either. How long have you been here? You mustn't have been here long. Or are you too lazy to make shoes? What's the matter? Come on, there's enough work here, you can earn something." "Earn something?" I asked in astonishment. "I don't need to earn anything, you don't have to earn money here. The angel told me." "Yes, we don't work for money here," said the sister to me. "It's about other things. You won't want to stay here all the time. You have to work your way up, you have to learn to work. You haven't done anything in your life. Now you have to do twice as much here because you missed out on it on Earth." I was amazed at what she had the nerve to say to me. After all, I had only wanted to ask about shoes. And so I wanted to turn back straight away because I didn't like this one. She seemed to be too busy working. But then a brother called me back and said, "Come, Maria. That's your name, isn't it?" "Yes, my name is Maria." "How do you know my name?" Then he just said, "You can't care about that now. I just know that you are Maria. Now you come and I will show you exactly how to make shoes. Then he took me with him. I did not resist, because after all I was not alone, there were others there watching. But it seemed to me that the others were interested in making shoes.